This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. A lot has been going on. We've got a whole bunch to talk about today. I've got in studio with me the co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a job site that's basically equivalent to USA Jobs, where you can find government jobs, and also you can apply to a lot of the different government agencies who AVIEW has as clients. Linda Ricks, she's in here in the studio with me. We're going to be talking about a lot of different issues. The American Job Act, what's going on in terms of the budget, possible rifts in government, some changes, some transition. Also, what's going on with USA Jobs? There's some new stuff happening, a changeover in October that's going to be happening in USA Jobs. And there's some stuff that's happening with some positioning standards. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, controversial type stuff, Linda. But we'll get into it today on Fed Access. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you. The president came out.
Yep.
American Job Act, you know, AJA.
Yep.
What was your thoughts on it? I mean, you listened to the speech. And also, I mean, given that you are, a medium-sized business owner, I want to kind of get both takes. I mean, one, from the cycle in terms of you looking from the federal side of it. Two, looking at it from the whole job perspective. And three, as a business owner, do you think this will have a positive impact on you?
Right. It's actually been interesting hearing the speech and then reading through the act. I think the really terrific points that are being made relative to job creation. One, an obvious benefit to employers that hire veterans, which is, you know, partially in this case, if you will, subsidized, and certain tax credits and things like that are being given for that, which, because of our longtime association with the American Legion and our understanding of the difficulties veterans have with getting employment, I think that's just terrific.
Okay.
Just an amazing kind of thing to hit the radar at that level and
as a
and
business
get pulled
owner,
in.
Would that give you an incentive? I know you already work on hiring veterans,
right.
But would that, if you weren't a business owner who already did that, would that give you an incentive to start maybe looking at veterans and bringing them in?
I think it might. I think part of it is trying to get more private sector companies participating in the hiring of veterans in the same way that the federal government has had initiatives since I think 1938 is the Veterans Preference Act. So all the way back from then forward. But in this case, because it's such a crucial issue for veterans, I think that will be an incentive for people to at least look at a particular category of folks that need jobs and be able to try to pull them back into the workforce. I think you would see people who are looking for that kind of tax credit or offset.
Right. Would you need to have because as you think about it, and I get it, catch-22. I'm a veteran, but some people will say, well, gee, you're giving all these preferences to veterans, but we got all these other people who are unemployed. I mean, what about me? Do you feel like anything in the American Job Act is for them?
I do. I think actually they hit several really good marks. One, low income youth. Having special programs set up to create pathways for them into the labor force, crucial set of skill building activities related to that. I think for long-term unemployed, a special emphasis on getting them back to work, which there's been a lot of articles written and a lot of speculation around. Long-term unemployed have had the worst problem getting back in, and there's a prohibition against discrimination of long-term unemployed folks, which has been a big problem.
Sure.
So if you've been out of work for more than 6 months, there are a lot of people who just won't hire you.
And why is that, though? I mean, you know, even as a as a person who hires people, I mean, do you see that as, you know, with hiring, do they have a stigma of, like, why couldn't you get work? I mean, what is the stigma behind that that kind of, you know, permeates with this issue?
I think it's two things. One is it may be the age of the individuals involved. It may just be age discrimination. So in the private sector, this similar to what happens a lot in the federal government when you have reduction in force. Right. A lot of times, a lot of the folks who leave are your highest priced individuals on the payroll, and they exit the workforce. And then when they're trying to get back in, you're facing, as and I've had this described to me by a number of people who have been out of work for a long period of time, where they'll say, and then they look at you and you realize that you're interviewing with a 30-year-old. And they're looking at you like, how can you be relevant?
Hill, right? Are you still up on the issues?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's a very real problem. And I also think that there is trauma associated with being laid off. And that trauma causes people to be less confident, especially if they've worked for an employer for a long time, right? So 15, 20 years, maybe with an employer, and then you get laid off, and
you don't know
you
where to begin
have
again.
No clue.
Yeah. You're starting all over again. Yeah. Like, you're almost like a baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you were in a pipeline where you were, and now you're kind of out of that safety net. So I think the getting the long-term unemployed incentives in there, I'll be anxious to see if that works, how good that is. But so you get the low-income youth, long-term unemployed. You've got veterans in the hiring initiative. The other thing I was really pleased to see was the offset for self-employed. Because I know a lot of people who are self-employed.
Right.
And
that became a big movement, especially when people got laid off or people got terminated or things like that. People say, listen, I'm going to become an entrepreneur. I'm going to have my own business.
Yep. And I think actually that is job creation of a unique form. And I think that it also is a trend for really for how companies will be built and businesses will be built over a long period of time will be from very small cadres of people. We were talking about the concept around some of these small companies that you don't think are small, like Craigslist.
Right.
But, they may have 10 or 12 employees. Right. Because
but have a nationwide presence, but it's a very, very small business.
Yeah, a global presence and be able to do that because they're leveraging the internet.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot of people to sustain an operation like that.
Not a big infrastructure. Doesn't have to have a whole bunch of buildings or anything like that. Yeah.
So you're not going to see these big employers with tens of thousands of employees.
Right.
You'll have those, but the job creation engine is going to come from these other offsets.
Or the small businesses.
Right. And you have people who have portable expertise. They have learned something, they know their craft extremely well or their profession extremely well, and they are able to sell themselves effectively. They have, in essence, a lower cost because they do not have the high overhead, and they are able to go into business without building a big infrastructure.
Right.
They don't need to build a building, they don't need to lease property, they don't need to buy
and
equipment.
That's where innovation may come from.
Exactly.
From these small people got great ideas.
Right.
And maybe can get some money from the American Job Act to kind of, really implement their process.
Yeah. And I think that's great. So I was very pleased to see that because it ended up, to me, it's a good fit for people who are, first of all, unemployed and are looking for, something that they want to contribute in a unique way. And then the other thing I liked about it was it's very hard to be self-employed. I think people oftentimes,
they think it's easy.
Yeah, they do. And I always tell people, figure out how much money that you want to make, not that you need to make, but, how much money do you want to make for your lifestyle? And then take the, 365 days of the year, and then take out all the weekends and all the holidays that you want to take and all the vacation time that you want to take and all the sick leave that you've ever taken before and deduct all those days, all those days off the calendar, and then figure out how much money you have to make per day that you are going to be working in order for you to be self-employed. And that's really, it's a simple formula, but it tells people, wow, that's kind of a stretch. And so this, I think, really helps because you are taking the same funding that you would normally use for unemployment compensation and instead creating these micro job engines.
And we haven't had that really before. I mean, an emphasis on the self-employed, an emphasis on those new entrepreneurs, or even kind of building up an entrepreneurial base. We haven't really had that before in an act, have we?
No, not that I have seen.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about the American Jobs Act. We're talking about federal hiring. We're talking about RIFs, budget cuts. We're talking about AVU Central. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about federal jobs. We're talking about everything that's related to jobs and federal jobs today on Fed Access. Have in studio with me Linda Rick. She is the co-CEO of AVU Technologies. They run AVUCentral.com. You need to check it out if you haven't been on there. It's a federal job site. It has everything on there, social networking tools, and we'll get into that. It has a whole bunch of different tools that you can utilize in order to do your federal job search. So check that out. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch.
Remember when you tried doing something for the first time? You probably weren't very good at it. On a scale of stinko to virtuoso, chances are you were right down there. But you kept at it, and soon you went from not so hot to halfway decent. Kaiser Permanente reminds you we all start out as beginners, stumbling over our feet, going right instead of left, swinging and missing. So whatever you're curious about, tennis or horseback riding, playing guitar or pole dancing, softball or soccer, forget about being perfect and focus on the fun. The rest will fall into place. So come on, stumblers, bumblers, listen up. It's okay to stink. Just start. Go to thrive.kp.org to find your thing. Kaiser Permanente. We want you and your interests to thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services is about to begin moving to an electronic application environment. Up till now, the agencies relied almost entirely on paper-based systems for applications for citizenship, visas, and other immigration matters. By the end of the year, they'll start rolling out a digital system that handles forms dealing with adjustments to immigration status. USCIS then intends to add on new capabilities every 6 months, eventually building up to an all-electronic system.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hi, this is Michelle Moore, the Federal Environmental Executive. I'd like to invite you to join us at the 2011 GreenGov Symposium, co-hosted by the White House Council on Environmental Quality and the Association of Climate Change Officers, for 3 days of cutting-edge educational sessions on the business of sustainability and greening the government. Connect with more than 1,000 of your peers at this year's GreenGov from October 31st to November 2nd in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register online, visit greengov2011.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about jobs today. We're talking about the American Jobs Act. We're talking about federal jobs. We're talking about what's going on with the federal hiring process. A lot of things was happening over this past year. A lot of things will be happening coming up over the rest of this year that we need to know about. In the studio with me, I have Linda Rick. She is the co-CEO and our federal jobs expert here. She's the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com. It's a federal job site that people can go on, equivalent to USA Jobs, but you can find and find jobs on there and post your resume and also apply to federal jobs on there as well. Linda, we were talking about the American Jobs Act, and you, and you kind of said that you have some hope that this will, based on what you're reading, that these incentives will possibly stimulate some hiring. In this Jobs Act, in terms of, you know, a lot of people are concerned about how the money will be, you know, once this is passed, you know, and we're thinking there will be hopefully a pass of this this year. But once this is passed, you know, are you seeing that there will be a better way? Because people complained about how money from the Recovery Act was distributed out, a slow process. People felt like it wasn't coming out quick enough. Do you see that this is going to be streamlined and it's going to be better that a business like yours or whoever the case is can get that money quick and start making some moves?
Yeah, I think it's a different strategy. It's slightly different. It's more giving it directly to the states on a per capita basis. There is some grant filing, grant applications that the governors of the states will have to implement. But what I like about that is, so that's 50 grants coming in as opposed to thousands of grants coming in and having to be processed. I think that's a...
So keeping it, keeping them bigger grants.
Right.
And then kind of streamlining the process, maybe a bigger amount. And then have somebody distributing money.
Because the most important thing is it's the money has to get out there now. It just has to be very fast. So it to me looks like a much more streamlined method of getting the money out there. And you know, I'm not an expert in grants management by any stretch, but I think it's going to alleviate the problems we saw initially with the prior stimulus activity. So, I think this
hopeful.
Is good.
So what we're talking about possibly after this is passed, maybe within 30 days or so, hopefully money will start getting out to the states, and then money will go from the states to maybe actual businesses or actual projects.
The big hurdle, of course, is the act has to pass.
That's true.
And I understand that, John Boehner is going to announce the Republican Jobs Act today.
We'll see how all that works.
Yeah, but hopefully the incentives will be there. You know, these are kind of politically agnostic incentives. I think in terms of. These are great categories of people to focus on because we know that's where the problems are. So, you know, that's great.
Do you think, in terms of the federal government, you know, when you read through this act and what we're hearing about the federal government right now is, you know, budget reductions, budget cuts, and everything else we're hearing about a reduction in force. We're hearing about all these things. I was reading recently on the Marine Corps directives that even they're saying, hey, listen, 90 days, you know, no hiring of civilian employees right now. You know, from the American Jobs Act all the way to what you're hearing and what you're seeing, even with your clients, what's going on with this? Are people concerned? Are we going to face some reductions in force? I mean, what's going to happen with the federal government?
Well, yeah, I think agencies, notably defense, are already engaged in we are reducing the civilian workforce, period. And there's a couple of just fundamental strategies. Just I think, you know, for your listeners, there's kind of a standard list. The first thing the agencies try to do is stockpile vacancies. So that and that's a good strategy because if you're stockpiling vacancies, what that allows you to do is go ahead and be able to take a reduction without any adverse impact on employees.
And so when you say stockpile, so elaborate on that so people understand. So when you stockpile,
that's the hiring
vacancy, that means
freeze.
The hiring freeze. So you're kind of putting these vacancies aside, all these things.
So the hiring freeze is, since we have this unknown in the future and that represents a risk to us, let's not fill these positions until we have some visibility on what our funding is going to be. And so the stockpiling vacancies is usually the first thing. The second thing is the Vera VSIP retirement provisions and the buyouts. So, you know, that's a voluntary, again, low adverse impact on people who cannot take advantage of that incentive. And then you go into the next mode is, okay, then let's take a look at the vacancies we have and the people we have, and let's reshape the workforce and redistribute the workforce to meet the mission that is being funded and be able to go forward with that mission by reshaping the workforce.
Okay.
And then your position of last resort is really a reduction in force, and the principal reason for that is it's easy to do a reduction in force. Usually with DOD, it'll be BRAC, right? Then
right.
everybody goes.
Right.
Not, you know, you're not looking at, if you're trying to trim the workforce to get within a budget allowance and you're using RIF to do that, it's costly.
Okay.
So you have to know what you're doing really, really well.
Okay.
And that's
so it's better for the buyouts. It's better for all these other things because it's very
right.
voluntary. You're not
yeah.
having to ramp up resources to now make a transition
yeah.
team and everything else.
Yes. Okay. But the problem with it is if you stockpile your vacancies and you do buyouts, you don't control which positions are vacated.
Okay.
So for agency management, that reshaping becomes really crucial for employees.
And that's workforce planning.
Yeah.
Succession planning, because you may lose some critical people.
Correct.
In that process.
Yep. And if you're going to do that, it's highly unlikely you're going to bring them back as reemployed annuitants
okay.
or these other kinds of options, right? And so,
which can be even more costly.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other part of that, that I think for people who are in the situation in their agency, the employees in that situation, need to have a high level of flexibility and agility, because whatever you were hired to do may not at the end of the day be exactly what you are doing.
Okay.
Or even close. But you may have an opportunity at this point, if you're sitting in an agency and you're starting to see this happen, rather than feel fearful about that, I think what you have to do is you have to say, what's my best option for my career if I wanted to mm-hmm. choose to do something different mm-hmm. or if I wanted to look at a different career path and, you know, wanted to look at the potential to be a rising star in the agency in some other method of what I'm doing, then I need to start looking for that opportunity.
Okay.
And be flexible, be agile, don't get into the retrenchment, disengagement mode.
Okay.
That can frequently happen. I think that's the worst thing that can happen in a situation like this, because what you really, it's sort of all hands on deck. Let's help agency management figure out how we're all going to stay employed.
Okay. Do you feel, you know, as a federal and you know, as we're looking at the signs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is it going to be small, medium-sized agencies, or are we talking about more of your bigger agencies like a DOD or, you know, Health and Human Services? I mean, who are the people? I mean, one, what are the signs that you're going to see that maybe your agency is going to get this kind of, you know, mm-hmm. reduction? You
mm-hmm.
know, should you be watching the budget for a federal worker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just want to know, hey, listen, what's going on with my agency? I'm not getting word from the top yet,
mm-hmm.
but I want to know what the signs are so I can start planning out. What are those signs, and who is more subject to this? Is it more your bigger agencies or more your smaller agencies?
I think it's going to be across the board.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at a request from the administration a few months ago to take down, every agency needs to take down their budget in 2013, down by 10% from their 2012 spending request.
And you can't do that by just stop copying. You can't
right.
do that by
although
not
some agencies try to do right. that. Yeah, we're just not going to buy office supplies.
Right,
so
right.
You know, if you need paper, bring your own. Yeah, I you know it's
BYOP.
Going to yeah exactly. And I think you know most federal employees a lot of times want to look at, well, let's cut the contractors, which then creates a problem in the economy generally, because these are private sector jobs
right.
that we're trying to
right.
create, correct? You know,
right.
so there's you're going to have some direct conflict on the self-interest of various groups. But I think that generally you're going to see something akin to across the board.
Okay.
We have heard rumors that there may be across the board Vera VSIP okay. authorizations for whole occupational series.
Okay. So just across the board,
agencies.
Voluntary buyouts for a lot of different people. Maybe people who have already spent, who are ready for retirement.
Right.
Because a lot of people didn't retire because of the economy.
Right.
Right. So
right.
maybe those people will be ready to maybe take a buyout and be okay.
Right.
Okay.
And I think for people who are, you know, in the workforce and maybe have 10, 15 years of service, they do need to watch very carefully what is happening, because it will open opportunities if you are sensitive to that.
Okay.
You know, and I think ultimately agencies are going to be struggling with, okay, where are we going to make these cuts and what's really expendable? And as you know, the federal budgeting process, a lot of times these are individual line items.
Right.
And you don't have a lot of flexibility to move around some of that stuff. So be
hold that thought. I want to keep on going with it because mm-hmm. I want to ask you a couple more questions about what a person should do. You know, should they be putting their resume on AV Central? I mean, what should they be doing career-wise?
Right.
And you know, in terms of planning for this kind of stuff. We're talking about American Job Act. We're talking about federal hiring. We're talking about reduction in force. We're talking about budget cuts. We're talking about anything that's doing with the federal workforce, federal jobs, and basically jobs in general with America right now with this economic situation. We have in studio Linda Ricks. She's the co-CEO of AV Technologies. Mm-hmm. They run avcentral.com, which is a federal job site that you need to check out. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The March of Dimes and FC Innova will honor women in the tech field who make a difference in their communities at the 11th annual Heroines in Technology Gala, Friday, October 21st at the Hyatt Regency Reston. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify volunteerism in our community. 20 finalists will be recognized and winners will be announced in 5 award categories, including the FCA International Government Award. Government finalists include Chief Kathy Lanier of the D.C. Metro Police Department and Catherine Hollis of the Defense Logistics Agency. In addition to the award presentation, the event will have a live and silent auction and a live band. To learn more about the nominees and to purchase tickets, please visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc. Proceeds will benefit the March of Dimes and its fight to prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Profile America, Friday, September 16th. In spite of their rising cost and the sluggish economy, America's love affair with the automobile shows no signs of abating. The long-running nature of that affection will be highlighted from today through the weekend in Vermont at the 45th annual Bennington Car Show. 10,000 people are expected to walk along rows of classic and modified cars. They'll see long-gone names such as Hudson, Nash, and Studebaker, alongside muscle cars, witty station wagons, and hot rods. And hear seniors say wistfully, "I used to have one of those." Across the U.S., car shows are increasingly popular, and each year attract nearly 19 million people. Profile America is produced by the U.S. Census Bureau, measuring America, people, places, and our economy.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
A major hurricane raises the obvious question, can our homes be better built to withstand violent weather? The answer is, of course, yes. But at what cost? Tim Reinhold, chief engineer at the Institute for Business and Home Safety, says with about a 2% increase in the cost of a new home,
you can certainly raise the level of strength of a typical house quite a bit because our connections are generally so poor between the roof and the walls and the foundation.
Reinhold says the key is strapping the roof trusses to the top of solid walls. His experiments with wind speeds of 110 miles per hour showed
the front door on the conventional house blew open. When that pressure got inside, the whole house came apart in 4 seconds, whereas the other house that was strapped together well stood there and didn't have any problems.
To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a real interesting conversation about what's going on with jobs, what's going on with federal jobs. We've been talking about the American Job Act, and will it have an impact not only on just the whole economy, but also will it have an impact on federal and state government as well? Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the federal workforce with all these budget reductions. What's going to be the impact of that on federal workers? What should you begin doing? We have Linda Ricks in studio with us right now. She's the co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a federal job site that they have federal clients who are posting jobs and also who are using it to hire their critical employees and mission essential employees and everything else. Linda has been discussing with us about what has been the impact on a lot of these different things. Mm-hmm. Linda, we were talking about the kind of the dynamic of maybe with the budget cuts, you know, agencies are, you know, going to be facing some things. They're possibly going to be buyouts, hopefully not a reduction in force, but there's going to definitely be some personnel changes.
Right.
If you are a person in a federal agency, and I was kind of trying to get you to say, you know, is it going to be a particular agency, a big or a small? You're saying, hey, listen, across the board.
Right.
If you're at a small agency or a big agency, you need to kind of, you know, not necessarily be scared, but you need to plan.
Right.
You need to begin to think about some things. For a federal worker right now who, you know, is kind of thinking about what's next, and, you know, maybe they're starting to see things on the wall, what you should you be doing in order to kind of ensure that you are okay career-wise?
Right. I think a couple of things. One is you need to branch out of thinking about the federal government as your sole employer option.
Okay.
And I think you want to get on some of the social media sites like LinkedIn and start building a network of people that can give you job information, whether it's another agency or potentially the private sector or something like that. There's,
and you know, I mean, let me just even interject, because I know that with your site, you guys are starting to do some stuff on AVIEW Central with LinkedIn and, and other things like that with social media.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
What's some of that stuff?
It's actually really a lot of fun. We're basically posting, giving our customers the ability to post their jobs on the agency's Facebook page, on their LinkedIn site, and to follow them on Twitter and get the job postings from Twitter.
Okay.
What's really nice is because LinkedIn has a one-click apply now process, when you go to LinkedIn and you see you'll see an AVIEW job posting up there, you can click on the link and it will take you into AVIEW Central and it will transport your LinkedIn profile. At the same time, so you won't have to re-enter all that
information. Sure.
And it also,
which is frustrating for so many different people.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
And then it also gives you the link back to your profile on LinkedIn for the employer.
Okay.
So the employer not only sees all of the content, but they can also go back and see
your
actual LinkedIn page as well, in case things have been updated or, you know, whatever's happened.
Do you think it's critical right now for people to start, you know, having a LinkedIn profile? I mean, is that becoming an essential part of the job? I mean, like a resume is essential.
Right.
Is that essential now?
I think it is. I think you're way beyond the standard USA Jobs application process or other things. So you really to be relevant. And the reason we built this out, just to let you know, the basis for it is because we had some CIOs in our customer agencies that came to us and said, I want my job postings on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I want my job postings on my AVIEW Facebook site. So
you've had actual federal agencies
hiring
who
managers,
want to do this stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the key.
Okay.
So the hiring managers are looking at it this way. And I think federal employees get very complacent about their job search by focusing exclusively on USA Jobs. When you look at posting that might go onto LinkedIn, if an agency posts on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and on Twitter, they're reaching 1.1 billion potential people.
Wow.
to apply. Wow. So the competitive area is going to get bigger and broader because the outreach is going to be much more substantial and significant.
And so federal managers are thinking that, you know, USA Jobs, as great as it is, has been limited in the outreach. It's been limited in the scope of the number of people that it's reaching. So now let's go into these social media outlets. Let's use LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter.
Well, and the other thing is they're free. So where agencies pay for USA Jobs, they don't for social media.
So a couple of different mission critical things for a person who's thinking about kind of career success management. One, get yourself a LinkedIn account. Two, don't necessarily think about the federal government as the end-all be-all. But let me ask this question. Even though we're concerned about maybe, you know, some reductions, does that mean that the federal government will stop hiring?
I think it means that the federal government will selectively hire.
Okay.
So the federal government always hires.
Okay.
They're going to be hiring in critical areas that, for example, you know, AJA, if the Americans Jobs Act goes through, there are going to be certain kinds of positions that will be filled.
Right.
They may be engineering jobs because a lot of it's infrastructure related.
Right.
So, you know, maybe Corps of Engineers does a lot of hiring, that kind of thing. But what you're not going to find is this blanket. Every time we lose somebody, we fill that job.
Okay.
That's not going to happen. So you may have a 2-for-1, a 3-for-1,
okay.
4-for-1. You may have a situation where jobs that are not mission critical, and I think everybody out there who's listening needs to focus a little bit on, is their job related to the core mission of the agency, or is it administrative?
Sure.
Is it in IT, finance, contracting, HR? These are administrative areas where getting the cost reduction on the administrative side preserves the mission job. So maybe it's time to make a leap over.
Do some people know that they're not mission critical? I mean, do some people
know?
I mean, does everybody think that they're mission critical sometimes?
No. I have a rule of thumb. If you don't have to go to work on a snow day,
you're not
think about it.
Well, that may be something for you to think about. If you're out there listening, if you were not called in on a snow day, then you may need to get on LinkedIn tonight and update your profile.
There's one other thing. Do we have time?
Sure. No, go ahead.
There's one other thing I want to encourage everybody to do just in case there's a downside, okay, which is something that I think federal employees don't routinely do, and that is have a copy of their official personnel folder.
Okay.
Have a printed copy.
Their SF-50 and anything else that came out of their
because the government went through this big process of creating what was called EOPFs, electronic OPFs. And I have heard from a number of people that the information in their EOPF is not complete. It is also sometimes other people's information is in their EOPF. So
not updated.
Not updated, not complete. And so if your agency has allowed you access to your EOPF, then print it out. If your agency has a hard copy OPF, go to that office and get the entire contents printed out for you.
Okay.
Because what you have to be able to do is be able to say, can I retire? All your retirement counseling, your retirement calculations, all your Vera VSIP analysis, everything else that might be offered to you is going to be offered on the basis of what's in your OPF.
Okay.
It's not going to be offered on the basis of what you thought you did in your career or anything else. And then if it runs into reduction in force, that's going to be based off your OPF as well.
So you need to know these facts in order to also begin career planning. Because you may have something that's part of your personnel file that allows you to maybe jump into a new program.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So you need to do that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's been going on with USA Jobs. There's some transition happening. And then we're also talking about some unique positions that have been or standards for positions, accounting, IT, and competencies that have been put on these positions when we come back. We're talking to Linda Rick. She is the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is a federal job site. AviewCentral.com. You need to check it out. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1580.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Is this the year you're going to do it? Pack your bags for that trip of a lifetime?
The whole travel industry has been just exploding.
Dr. Steven Krotzer is a travel medicine specialist at Mayo Clinic. If you're planning a trip overseas, maybe even to a remote or developing area, he says there's another trip you should take first, to your doctor's office and maybe a travel medicine specialist. You need to make sure you're fit enough to travel, and then there are the vaccinations.
The most important vaccines of all are just the routine ones.
Like diphtheria, tetanus, and the flu shot. Depending on where you're headed, insect-borne diseases like dengue fever, yellow fever, and malaria may need to be discussed. Dr. Krotzer also suggests medical evacuation insurance. It's relatively cheap, but can save you thousands if you need to be brought home because of injury or illness. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
What is the U.S. Department of Agriculture doing to transform rural America and enhance its prosperity? What is the USDA doing to cut costs and improve organizational performance? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Kathleen Merrigan, Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
No one said this in a while, so here it is. A reminder. This is America. America. In America, we do great things. We dream dreams and then conceive and create and educate and just plain work until they come true. Our greatness is not past. Are you kidding? It is here and now, just as it's always been and will always be. This is a message from Force 3. We design and implement security solutions that protect the nation's sensitive data. We create borderless networks and limitless communications. We're one of the thousands of American companies that are dreaming and growing and winning. If you're interested in today's most advanced technology solutions, or if you just want to meet people who are doing great things, visit force3.com. Force 3. Let's do something great. Force 3 is a leading provider of EMC solutions to the federal government. Find out how Force 3 and EMC can deliver the right solution for your agency by visiting force3.com.
And now, all the reasons why you don't need HD radio.
If you love having wires all over your car connecting your devices, you don't need an HD radio. If you love reading big instruction manuals, you don't need an HD radio. And if you love paying for radio every month, you don't need an HD radio. But if you like hearing your favorite local stations and lots of new ones here in town, there just may be an HD radio in your future.
Learn more at HDradio.com. HD radio, more stations,
more value,
more of what you listen to radio for.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
In April, former federal CIO Vivek Kundra gave an update on the 25-point plan to reform information technology. During that update, all but two objectives were on track, including reducing duplicate data and consolidating data centers. With Kundra's departure and Steve Van Roekel's appointment, how will agencies continue to drive IT management reform in 2012? Join AFSEA Bethesda September 22nd at the Bethesda North Marriott for an update. Register today at afseabethesda.org/sepbreakfast.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We've been having a great conversation about what's going on with federal jobs, what's going on with the American Jobs Act. Will it have an impact on job creation across the board? And just what's going on with the whole federal workforce? There's possible reduction in force, possible budget cuts, and how it's going to impact the federal worker. How should you begin planning in order to make sure that if you are impacted, that you can ensure that your career continues to go on and you don't have any any kind of negative repercussions of a reduction of force or any kind of budget cuts in your agency. I have with me in the studio Linda Rick. She's the co-CEO of AVU Technologies. They run AVUCentral.com, which is a federal job site. So you have USAJobs.gov, and you also have AVUCentral.com. They have a whole bunch of different postings on there as well. They have federal clients who are posting jobs, and you can use their system to do a number of different things. I know social media, LinkedIn, find other kind of jobs, and everything else. Linda, USA Jobs, going to be some transition happening soon. I think in October.
Yep.
I'm not sure the exact date.
October 6th, I think,
October
is the date.
October 6th,
yeah.
We're talking about a whole new USA Jobs. What's going on with that? I mean, I know that you guys have your own thing, but, you know, what's happening? What are you hearing that's happening with USA Jobs? What's going to be the transition? What are we expecting?
Yeah, we're actually working with what's called USA Jobs 3.0 group and making sure that our customer job postings will make it up there the way they do now under 2.0.
Okay.
So I think the thing for your listeners to know and to kind of be prepared for is there is going to be a blackout period of a week. Where you will not be able to search for jobs and you will not be able to apply for jobs through USA Jobs.
That may scare some people.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that, and again, that doesn't mean you can't apply for jobs or you can't search for jobs. You'll just be searching. You'll either use AV Central or you can
site of the agency.
The agency's website, corporate site.
Okay.
Jobs will be up for recruitment. So it's important that
If a lot of times the agencies, some will post it on their own jobs and they post it on your site as well, but then sometimes they'll just link it right back to USA Jobs. So if that's the case, those jobs will not be able to be
seen. You'll have a week where... Wow. Where you won't be able to do anything.
So a week of dark time.
Correct.
Okay.
And part of what you'll see, it's not a new USA Jobs. It's the same USA Jobs. It's just that the code is now has been written by and the site's going to be run by OPM instead of Monster.
Hmm.
Okay. Monster was a contractor on USA Jobs 2.0.
Okay.
And now. OPM has taken that in house.
So are we talking about a different look, a different functionality?
No.
I mean,
no, no, it's going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
Except there's a loss of functionality.
Okay.
So
meaning what?
Meaning that there are things that you are able to do now that you won't be able to do near term, and then some of the functionality is slightly different. Like we noticed that right now when you go in to search for a position, and you search by series. They are not in alphabetical or numerical order. So it's kind of a mashup.
Okay.
You just got to go in and find what you want to find. The other thing that is really important is if you currently have a USA Jobs account and you are anticipating having the same account when they transition over.
So all of your information, your resumes, your five resumes, and anything you have put up on there.
Yes. In theory, that will all be exported over.
Okay.
However, if you did not answer, when you go into the account and you set your user ID and password, on your password, if you did not answer some key questions that are verification questions, if you have not done that, you need to do that before October 6th.
Because
that's how they're going to issue you your new password. And if you haven't done that, you'll have to email them to get a password reassigned. And we're a little skeptical. I don't have, any corroboration from OPM on this, but we're skeptical about what the throughput on that's going to be.
You know, it sounds as if, and tell me if how you feel about this, that a person should possibly go into USA Jobs and maybe copy all of their materials.
I would highly recommend that.
Okay. I mean, because a lot of times people develop their USA Jobs resume and it's not in any kind of paper form, in an MS Word document, anything
like
that.
Correct. And that's what you need to do.
Okay.
And make sure that you're also, a lot of people have attached documents, SF-50s, DD-214s, things like that on USA Jobs. Make sure you have your own copies and everything else. You haven't, done anything with that. But overall, the most important thing to do is answer those verification questions, because if you don't do that, you won't be able to open up a new account.
So you need to go back through, find those verification questions, and make sure that you've checked off anything that's necessary.
Right.
Okay.
And I believe there are three of them. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe there are three of them.
You know, we only got a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. You were telling me something really interesting today that I really kind of was found quite startling. OPM writes these positions,
right?
These qualifications,
standards, right?
You were telling me about the accounting one and how, for lack of a better word, how it's been dumbed down.
Correct.
tell me about what's going on. I mean, what are you seeing with some of these new standards? Because I know there's been standards that are being updated, new standards being written, and everything else. What are we seeing with this?
Well, I think two things. One is OPM has decided to go with this thing called competencies, as opposed to KSAs. And here's the difference between a competency and a KSA. A KSA would say ability to communicate orally. A competency says oral communication.
Potato, potato.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not seeing anything material, but what is happening is OPM in the new qualification standards is stripping out key requirements for an occupation. So the one that I thought was the startling one happened to be walking through our office, and we have people who take all the new publications from OPM and engineer it into our platform.
Yeah.
And so I got this flag down from somebody who said, you got to see this. And it happened to be the standard, the qualification standard for finance and accounting jobs. These are financial officers, auditors, accountants, budget analysts. These are people who work for example, the SEC that audit the financial industry.
Right.
These are people who work for CFOs or are CFOs.
High-level financial people.
Right. And the competencies, there are several competencies. Most of them are in what I call plays well with others category.
Right.
Teamwork, customer service, blah, blah, blah.
Interpersonal skill, data pulse. Yeah.
And the only one that's even close is called arithmetic.
Wow.
And in order to qualify at all grades from 5 to 15, you have to have a certain level of proficiency in arithmetic. Now, they define arithmetic as adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. They define for grade 5, you have to have basic proficiency in arithmetic, which means that you can apply arithmetic with frequent guidance from your supervisor. That's the definition in the qualification standard. At grades 12 and above, you have to have advanced proficiency in arithmetic. There's one level higher, which is called an expert. And advanced proficiency means you can apply arithmetic in challenging situations.
Wow.
Which I'm not sure what that means.
Does that mean at the cash register you can
count?
Exactly is a challenging situation?
Right,
we
exactly.
Have to kind of figure that out.
And there's no requirement for financial management skills.
Sure.
No requirement
accounting
for certifications.
CPA.
They will say in the basic quals, they'll say you have to have a certain amount of coursework in accounting, but the competency that you're really judged against is arithmetic.
You know, the scary part about that is that the dumbing down of these standards,
right,
you know, would possibly be that somebody could game the system and bring in somebody that is not truly qualified to be at a high-level financial
right.
management specialist or, as we mentioned, kind of a CFO level, whatever. You could bring in somebody who has had just your baseline kind of degree work.
Right.
And because they took maybe a business class or whatever, and they could get past this.
Correct. And let's face it, Excel, calculators,
right.
How hard is this?
Sure.
But the other thing that really I fear is if you look at it from the standpoint of the people who have to regulate the financial industry are up against the Bernie Madoffs, the folks that did the high-frequency trading that caused that sudden crash.
Complex schemes.
Very complex schemes. And now we've got people who know arithmetic.
Arithmetic. In challenging situations.
In challenging situations. You got it.
It's amazing. You know, I wish we could talk more about it. We got to cut it here. But we're going to have to come back. And as things roll out with the AJA and everything else, definitely want to have you back so we can kind of keep this conversation going. Thank you, Linda.
You bet. Thank you.
Always insightful. We've been talking to Linda Rick. She's the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com. You've been listening to Fed Access. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.